Welcome to Children's Health Checkup, where we answer parents' most common questions about raising healthy and happy kids. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Today, we're diving into an important topic, how to support kids with sensory challenges. Joining us is Dr. Corin Weinstein, a licensed psychologist at Children's Health and assistant professor at UT Southwestern. Dr. Weinstein specializes in treating challenging behaviors in children and adolescents with neurodevelopmental disabilities. In this episode, we will explore what sensory processing challenges are, how they impact children's daily lives, and what parents can do to create supportive environments for their kids. Doctor, we are so happy to have you here on the show today. To start us off, what are the most common sensory triggers for children, and how can they respond?
Thank you for having me. Some of the most common sensory sensitivities that we see include loud noises, such as everyday things like a blender or a vacuum, as well as bright lights or clothing textures, whether that's the material, such as denim, or the fit of the clothing, as well as food textures or crowds and the sounds and environment that come with a crowd. Some of the ways that children often respond to these sensations is by trying to avoid them or by trying to minimize how much they're being impacted by that sensory stimulus. So for example, children who are sensitive to loud noises may put their hands over their ears or try to run to another space or another room that they think will be quieter, whether that's in a house or just out in the environment to another space.
So what causes sensory sensitivities in children? And is it always linked to autism or developmental disabilities?
Even though we know a lot about pain pathways and about the brain, we still have quite a bit of research left to do. And as a result, there's not one good or single answer for what causes sensory sensitivities. And it can be different for different people. So for some, that is associated with an autism spectrum disorder. For others, it might be associated with a more specific sensory processing disorder. And for others, we're still not quite sure.
Well, how can parents create a sensory-friendly environment at home to support their child?
This might depend on what the sensory stimuli that their child is sensitive to are. So overall, talking to their providers can be helpful to determine what specific supports can be put into place. But parents can also take note of what they're noticing their child is reacting strongly to and make adjustments that are more specific to those situations in the home. So for example, if a child is really sensitive to overhead lighting, maybe their bedroom can be a space that uses lamps instead of overhead lights, so it's more dimly lit. Or having a clear space that the child can go to regroup or to cope when senses throughout the house become a little bit too overwhelming.
And on that note, what strategies can parents use to help their child manage sensory challenges outside of the home?
So outside of the home, we know that the environment is much more unpredictable. So we cannot guarantee that there's a clear space for them to go to regroup or to calm down. So as a result, the most effective strategies are going to be ones that focus on intervening before the sensory stimulus becomes a problem. So that means identifying strategies that parents can put into place before their child even encounters the loud sound or the bright light. So those strategies, like I said before, will really depend on what the sensory sensitivity is. For many families, something like providing headphones to their child before going to a park or a setting that they know will be loud can help with some more of those noise sensitivities to minimize the sound. On the same thought, sunglasses might help with children who have light sensitivities or when they're going outside.
Well, like you said, so much outside the home, out in public is uncontrollable for the most part when it comes to noises and sounds. What are some effective strategies for calming a child during a sensory overload episode if we get there?
If a child is already overwhelmed, there are strategies we can use to help them cope. And even if you're using some of the things that we talked about before, when you're going in public, it might happen where they still get overloaded and feel overwhelmed. Learning these strategies can take a lot of practice. and learning to use them independently can take some time. So they are often things that children will work on with a provider, with their psychologist or their therapist. But the most immediate solution is typically removing whatever the sensory stimulus was. That means turning off the light or stopping the blender. But that's not always possible when you're out in the environment or in public. So strategies like deep breathing or targeted redirection can be really helpful to start working on in times when they're calm so that they can learn the strategy.
And can sensory challenges improve over time? And what factors influence these improvements?
Because they are associated with a variety of different things and they vary by person and we don't really know the causes, it can be difficult to specify if or how they may change over time. But what we do know to be helpful is learning those strategies to cope with the frustration or the sense of overwhelm that comes when experiencing a sensory sensitivity. So factors that might influence that would really include working with a therapist or a provider on developing those coping skills and strategies and learning when and how to implement those techniques. And that's something that children can then take with them through life and apply to a variety of situations that they're presented with.
And to dig in even deeper, Doctor, what therapies or interventions are available for kids with these sensory challenges?
Just like the strategies vary, the types of interventions and therapies also vary. Many children with autism spectrum disorder benefit from applied behavior analysis or ABA therapy. And those providers will work on sensory sensitivities along with other behavioral goals. Occupational or physical therapy may also be helpful for people with sensory sensitivities. And many psychologists will have training in this area and will have strategies that can be helpful. It will really all depend on the specific goals and the type of sensitivity that each child has.
And to close out our episode today, Doctor, do you have any other advice on how parents and caregivers can support kids with sensory challenges?
I think it's always helpful to remind parents and caregivers that they are the ones who spend the most time with their child. So that means they're the ones who know their child best. So if you as a caregiver are noticing a pattern in the way that your child is responding to sensory stimuli or to their environment, or you have concerns about the way that they've responded to something in their environment, it's always worth mentioning to your pediatrician or to other providers that you're working with. They might not have a chance to notice those things during a typical well visit or the short times that they're spending with your child. So we do count on parents to bring those topics up if they're noticing them. So I hope parents and caregivers can feel empowered to bring questions and concerns up to their doctors and then hear what the referrals or strategies that are recommended are. And pediatricians can be a great person or helpful person to navigate those available resources and then make any necessary or beneficial referrals.
Absolutely. That advocacy is so, so important. Thank you, Dr. Weinstein, for reminding us and for sharing your valuable insights. And thank you for listening to Children's Health Checkup. If you found this podcast helpful, please rate and review or share the episode. And please follow Children's Health on your social channels. For more information on how to support a child with sensory challenges, visit children's.com/autism.